This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. That global automobile supply chain Nancy Marshall Genzer was talking about comes into really sharp focus when you go to upstate South Carolina, where, as I said, BMW has its biggest manufacturing plant. We were there for a summer last bit, and a BMW employee named Jacob Suits said this to us about those cars.
We make German cars in America.
As Nancy was saying, a lot of the components that go into those German cars are made in America as well. Bill Braybrick is the U.S. sales manager with Zapp Precision Wire. It's a German steel company that's got a couple of factories in the United States, one of which is in South Carolina. Hi, sir.
Hi, Kai.
Do me a favor, would you, and tell us a little bit about what your company does.
We're a family-owned German company, 300 years old. We take raw material, billets or ingots, and we form them. We cold work them. We turn them from big pieces of steel into smaller, close-tolerance pieces of steel. And then we sell those to people that machine parts or fabricate parts for a wide variety of industries, including automotive.
Tell me how you work your way into the automotive. Where do your pieces, your products fit on a car?
We supply a wide array of materials for injection systems, wiper blades, cosmetic pieces of steel. It's really a wide assortment.
So what'd you think last night, or perhaps this morning, when you read the news of this potential tariff that the president wants to put on imported automobiles?
It's strange. It's confusing, because if you look at South Carolina and you look at BMW and Mercedes and Volvo's presence there, you know, people have built factories near these plants to better support them. It's the way the business works today. It's truly is a global market. You know, the suppliers are in the market and close and employing lots of people. So it's odd to think of these companies as being a threat in any way.
When you sit back and look at the American car industry, then, and I mean all of them, right? The Fords, the GMs, but also the BMWs in South Carolina. What is it in your mind that makes an imported car an imported car?
Well, the only thing that makes a German car or a Japanese car is where their headquarters is. And okay, maybe the profit dollars go back there and maybe there's shareholders there. But the car itself, the components and the assembly, the manufacturing, the subcontractors, the supply chain is often in that country. And in the U.S., that's definitely the case. These are U.S. companies. We're a family-owned company. I think there's lots of people in the supply chain that are family-owned, and to hear that we're going to be punished or tariffed is a little confusing.
What happens to your business if the BMWs that they make in South Carolina all of a sudden become 25% more expensive overnight?
I guess that cost will have to be passed along, or it'll have to be managed. Someone has to pay it. Either they get it from the end user, or they're going to have to cut cost, and that can sometimes mean headcount reductions.
To a slightly bigger question here, Mr. Braybrick, we originally had you on the program a number of weeks ago, I think, talking about the exemption request that you had filed for some of the imported steel that you use to make the parts that go into windshield wipers and all of this. What is the status of your exemption request with the Department of Commerce? Do you know off the top of your head?
I do. We're waiting. Yeah. That's our status. As far as where the consideration is or where the ruling is, no. We don't have any word on that yet. It is a little bit tense because we have this June 1 deadline, the postponement of the tariff for EU companies.
Yep.
We're hoping for some positive news, but we're not really sure how the process is going.
Bill Braybrick, he's the U.S. sales manager for Zapp Precision Wire. Mr. Braybrick, thanks a lot for your time, sir. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Kai.